Would you turn in your Bibles to John chapter 11? John chapter 11 is about the resurrection of Lazarus. Now, a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister, Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. So the sisters sent word to him, saying, "Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick." But when Jesus heard this, he said, "This sickness is not to end in death, but for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified by it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he then stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to his disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and are you going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of the world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him." This he said, and after that he said to them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go, so that I may awaken him out of sleep." The disciples then said to him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover." Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought he was speaking of literal sleep. So Jesus then said to them plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Therefore Thomas, who is called Didymus, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go, so that we may die with him." So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off. And many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. Martha, therefore, when she heard that Jesus was coming, went to meet him, but Mary stayed at the house. Martha then said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection of the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord. I have believed that you are the Christ, the Son of God, even he who comes into the world." When she had said this, she went away and called Mary, her sister, saying secretly, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she got up quickly and was coming to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha met him. Then the Jews who were with her in the house and consoling her, when they saw that Mary got up quickly and went out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Therefore, when Mary came where Jesus was, she saw him and fell at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and was troubled, and said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. So the Jews were saying, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind men have kept this man from dying? So Jesus, again being deeply moved within, came to the tomb. Now it was a cave. A stone was laying against it. Jesus said, remove the stone. Martha, the sister of the deceased, said to him, Lord, by this time there will be a stench, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? So they removed the stone. Then Jesus raised his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but because of the people standing around, I said it, so that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. The man who had died came forth, bound hand and foot with wrappings, and his face was wrapped around with a cloth. Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. Therefore, many of the Jews who came to Mary and saw what he had done believed in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them the things which Jesus had done. Let's pray. Father, we ask that you would open our hearts to the message that we receive today, that you would instruct us, that our hearts would be challenged, that our hearts might be comforted. We entrust ourselves now to your care in Jesus' name. Amen. According to chapter 10, Jesus was beyond the Jordan River on the other side. There are times when Jesus seems close to us, but there are also times when Jesus seems far away. In times of sickness, in times of death, where is Jesus? Chapter 11 begins with Lazarus, who's sick. And the sister's first instinct is to call for Jesus, Christ, the healer. Why should Jesus come? Because of love. Lord, they said to him, behold, he whom you love is sick. Why would Jesus not come? He had the power of compassion. Surely he will come. The first hint that Jesus was not going to fulfill the sister's expectations was verse 4. But Jesus said, this sickness is not to end in death, but for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified by it. Romans 8:28. All things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Even this sickness and this death had a purpose in the eyes of Christ. For the believer, death is never the end. Even though Lazarus died, it was certainly not the end. But Lazarus didn't know that. Martha didn't know that. Mary didn't know it. The mourners who had gathered at their house to be with them and comfort them didn't know it. But Jesus knew. Jesus always knows what's going to happen. Love was a part of Jesus' motivation. If you look at verse 5, it simply says, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When you love someone, you want the best for them. We know as parents sometimes the best for what our child wants is not necessarily what they want. but we know it's what they need. It's the same way with God. He may not always give us what we want, but He will always give us what's best. For Jesus' disciples, the two-day delay brought a sign of hope. Jesus had been threatened the last time he was in Judea, but now he was ready to go back. The Father planned for him to go, even though he knew it would eventually lead to his own death. Now he needed to demonstrate the power of the resurrection to the disciples so they would be prepared for his own death. Jesus then told the disciples that Lazarus had fallen asleep. They, thinking he was merely sleeping, told Jesus this was a good thing and that he would recover. And Jesus then had to reveal to them that Lazarus had actually died. He said, "Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Isn't that an interesting choice of words? Normally we would say, let's go see his family. Let's go to Bethany. Let's go to their home. But Jesus said, let's go to him. Something was up that they didn't know about. Jesus was going to do something that they never imagined. They could imagine death. After all, Thomas said, well, let's go so that we might die with him, kind of a sense of resignation. But Jesus had something else in mind. And when he came to Bethany, Martha was the first one to go out and see Jesus. There were many people at the house, and Mary stayed, while Martha went first to see him. She said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." And Jesus made a very simple statement. He said, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said, "I know. In the resurrection, on the last day, I know my brother will rise again." Then Jesus made one of the greatest statements of all time. He said, "I am the resurrection and the life." If you stop there, that's enough, isn't it? I am the resurrection. Even today, we think of the resurrection as something that's going to happen in the future, a future event. One day, the rapture will happen, and everyone who died in Christ will come out of the graves. Why? Because Jesus died for all of us. My body, my soul, my spirit, all of me. I know that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, but that's my spirit. That's my soul, but Jesus died for all of me. So the question remains, well, why when I died, doesn't he take all of me? Well, there certainly wouldn't be much faith required to believe at that point for those who didn't know him. If today I was just to fall dead and disappear, how would you explain that? You'd have to believe, wouldn't you? But we still bury the bodies of the ones we love because it takes faith and continues to take faith to believe. "I am the resurrection," Jesus said, "and the life." The resurrection is not only an event that will happen in the future, it is a person, it is Jesus. He is the resurrection, he is the life, and that has consequences for us. It says, "He who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die." And then he says to Martha, "Do you believe this?" It's a good question for us today, isn't it? Do we believe this? We do, don't we? we're sure that we will never die because we're going to be with him. That statement was for Martha. It was also for Jesus' disciples, and it's also for you and for me. Like Martha, we must not miss the fact that the resurrection is Jesus. It's not just an event, it's a person. Do you believe that? That was a question for Martha. It was a question for all those who were there at the time, and it's a question for us. Martha, it's interesting, was not opposed to leaving a house filled with people to go and meet Jesus. I think there was a change in Martha. It doesn't seem like her, with all of the responsibilities of a house full of people who needed to be cared for, who needed to be fed. Remember the old Martha. She came to Jesus and she said, "Mary's not helping enough around the house. Tell her to get involved here." And Jesus said, "Martha, you're missing out here. You're missing out on the blessing of my presence." I think she learned her lesson when she was the first one to go out and be with Jesus, to seek him out. She was the one that ran out to seek the presence of Jesus. Martha then made her statement of faith. She said, "Yes, Lord, I have believed that you are the Christ, the Son of God, even he who comes into the world." I'm not sure if she really understood how she should respond. How do you respond to a statement like Jesus, even in the midst of the grief of losing a loved one? "I still believe," she said. And then she went to call Mary. It seems like the people who had gathered at the house knew that Mary was more fragile than Martha. I kind of wonder how that made Martha feel. Sometimes those who seem strong are in as great a need as those who show it easily on the surface. But when Mary went out to see Jesus, the mourners went with her. When Mary saw Jesus, she said the exact same thing, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." The sisters were disappointed in Jesus. Couldn't Jesus have come? Couldn't Jesus have healed Lazarus? If he had been here, Lazarus would still have been alive. They said the same thing. They approached Jesus the same way. Now, however, Jesus did not respond in the same way he did with Martha. He simply asked, "Where have you laid him?" Then the shortest verse in the New Testament, verse 35, Jesus wept. Why would Jesus have to ask where they buried Lazarus? Wouldn't he really know already if he were the Son of God? Why would Jesus weep if he knew that in just a few minutes he would order Lazarus to come forth from the grave? Jesus, I believe, entered the grief Mary was experiencing. He came into the world to experience our lives. Felt the same loss we feel. Felt the same pain that we feel. He became one of us. He responded differently with Martha. Martha needed to hear the truth. Mary needed to feel the comfort. Grief is not a lack of faith. I think sometimes grief is a measure of love. Jesus didn't condemn. He met Martha's cognitive need, but he also met Mary's emotional need. You know, we don't intentionally put our foot in our mouths, but we often do. We often, at the wrong time, say the wrong thing. Wouldn't it be nice if we could say the right thing every time and just naturally meet the need of the people we're with? Jesus did, and only God could. He met Mary, he met Martha exactly in the way they needed him. But there was something else. I believe Jesus felt the weight of our greatest enemies. Sin would put Jesus on the cross in just a few short days. Sin was responsible for all death. Death was the separation from all that was good. Eternal death was separation from God. On the cross, Jesus would experience that separation for us. In verse 35, Jesus wept. In verse 37, Jesus came to the tomb deeply moved within. We've gotten too used to death. We walk or drive by the cemeteries every day. We carefully try to remove evidence of death, even from those who have died. But Jesus didn't get used to death. He'd seen it from Adam to the grave of Lazarus. But he didn't get used to it. He hated death. And he came to save us from sin and to save us from death. Over objections to removing the stone, Jesus said, "Did I not say to you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" And then he prayed. He said, "Father, I thank you that you heard me. I know that you always hear me, but because of the people standing around, I said it, so that they may believe that you sent me." You see, there is a spiritual and a physical world. The Bible teaches that we do not fight against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. But we're not left helpless in these situations. The Bible speaks of personal armor for every believer: truth, righteousness, faith, peace, and salvation. We must too see beyond what is physical to the spiritual. 2 Kings chapter 6 tells the story of Elisha and his servant. The hills are full of the armies of the Lord. The city is surrounded. They're in a desperate situation. But the hills are full of the armies of the Lord. The enemy is just outside the city gates. But the hills are filled with the armies of the Lord. The enemy is greater in number than the people of the city, but the hills are filled with the armies of the Lord. The walls of the city are weakened, but the hills are filled with the armies of the Lord. The people are ready to give up and surrender, but the hills are filled with the armies of the Lord. Defeat and death were certain, but the hills were filled with the armies of the Lord. Elisha prayed, and his servants could now see that the hills were filled with the armies of the Lord. Jesus was standing with Mary at the grave of Lazarus. Her heart was broken. Her faith was shaken. She had doubts about the Savior. And Jesus prayed, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but because of the people standing, because of Mary standing around, I said it, so that she may believe that you sent me." And then he shouted for all to hear, "Lazarus, come forth." What a commotion must have gone through the crowd that day. Some watched, wondering what might happen next. Some, nervously, abandoned the situation for the safety of Jerusalem. Some running off to inform the Jewish leaders about what happened. But Lazarus came forth. Jesus said, "Loose him and let him go." Who do you think stepped forward to obey Jesus? I think it was Mary. Simple obedience. Hope reborn. Faith on fire. And as she removed the cloth that was around his face and saw the life blink back in his eyes, I can imagine hearing her cry, "He's alive! He's alive! Lazarus is alive." Not recorded in Scripture, but you can imagine the celebration. We still celebrate today. They knew that Jesus was the healer. They didn't know that he was the resurrection and the life. That day, they knew there was something about Jesus, not just a healer, but one who could and would give life to the dead. Lazarus, the down payment for us all. Jesus, the resurrection, standing on the hillside, calling death to life, raising Lazarus. Jesus calling out from the cross, "It is finished!" Calling death to life, the salvation of our souls. We can be as sure as Martha was after Lazarus was raised. We can be as sure as Mary was after Lazarus was raised. We can be as sure as Lazarus that Jesus is the resurrection. How's your faith today? Are you sure of the resurrection? Paul said in Philippians 3:10, "that I may know him and the power of his resurrection." Do you have that power? What hope that gives to the Marthas among us. What comfort that gives to the Marys among us. What life does that give to the Lazaruses among us? Jesus is the resurrection. Jesus is the life. Jesus is who we really need today. He brings revival and refreshing hope, faith, and comfort to our souls. He is the resurrection. Father, today we thank you again for that victory that you have won over sin and death. Bless us, Father, as we live this week in the power of your resurrection, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.